the show.
Hello and welcome to The Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, here on a fabulous summer morning at Focus on the Family. I hope your summer is going well. And to prove that ours is going well, we're actually going to do a special series of shows. It's not really a series. It's just going to be two. So what's that? Just a duo. A coupling. Anyway, we're going to do a little artist roundup for you these next 2 weeks, because as you know, because we at Focus on the Family are so important, we have artists just come by and drop by and want to talk to us. And that is a regular occurrence around here, people. So you get to be the beneficiaries of that. So we're going to actually do 2 weeks of artist interviews. So we're going to have two artists each week, and you get to, it's going to be quite an eclectic mix too. So you get to sit in with us on these conversations. This week, we have an interview that I did a little while ago with Rebecca St. James. Of course, you know her from the fabulous CCM world and all of her hit records and everything she's done, as well as being the author of the book She and going around and touring and doing a bunch of seminars on a bunch of different things, including kind of the whole She topic with, okay, I'm just going to say it, Evie Turnquist. Evie, for those of you who know, was kind of like the Sandy Patty of the 70s, and she sang in Billy Graham Crusade. She is Scandinavian, so I love her. She was a big, big artist in our home, and in fact, my sister, Laura, came in with me that day that she was here, and all of a sudden, there was a tear fest, and she and Evie were singing songs together. So Laura was blessed by that, and I think you will be too. We're going to be talking to Rebecca St. James and Evie Turnquist. Evie is actually Rebecca's mentor, which is why she's along here with her. But anyway, you will hear their story. Then followed by that, we're going to be talking to Jeremy Camp, who was also here for our marriage conference that we had this year. And I get to sit down with him and talk about his career and about his life and what God is teaching him now, as well as the music. So you will be sure to enjoy that. So two definite different music styles, two different artists, a guy and a girl. It's all here, people. So sit back, grab a glass of lemonade, and listen in. For today's Boundless Show culture segment, I have with me in the studio Evie Turnquist Carlson, or should I say Turnquist Carlson? So,
Turnquist, yeah.
Giving a shout out to a fellow Scandinavian sister.
Sure, you betcha. Yeah,
exactly. So she's in the studio with us, as well as Rebecca St. James. Many of our listeners should know of both of you.
Oh, well, no, Beck. They know Beck.
Okay, well, they do know her because she has numerous, top 10 singles, Grammy Award winner, obviously, Rebecca St. James, many albums to her credit. And then Evie actually is a music pioneer, really. I mean, in the 70s, before... Mm-hmm. Before anyone
Chuck
knew
Wagon
of
Gang.
Before anyone knew of Sandy Patty and Amy Grant, whatever, you know. If you were in a cage match with Sandy Patty, do you think you would win, Evie?
She's never been asked that question before. I mean, that's great.
If it came to blows, who would win? I'm just asking. I mean, I'm just saying, because you never know.
They're all friends of yours.
Oh,
so it's
they're
pretty hard
great
to
friends. Both Sandy and Amy.
Oh, you
are,
have to say you're friends. Whatever.
Yeah, no, but we are. No kidding, we are.
Okay.
Yeah, they're great.
So really you wouldn't great. Be. You wouldn't come to blows or anything if you were in the same room.
Come on.
That's great.
Well, they are taller, so.
They are taller, yes.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and let that stand. I will say for myself, though, that, and I did bring, I'll give a shout out to my sister, who is the Evie super fan of the entire world, my sister Laura. Oh, she's waving at us. She almost had an aneurysm when I told her that you were going to be here. She was so excited and brought all her albums. And we go way back
later.
In the days singing Born Again and Come On, Ring Those Bells.
Oh,
and
I'm honored.
On the Wings
Thank
of a
you.
Snow White Dove is her all-time favorite. So
oh,
she'll probably
really?
Want to sing that with you. Yes.
Wow, okay.
And Rebecca, I was telling my team earlier, you came to Focus back in like 1994 or 5 wow. when you
probably.
Were... back in the day, and you came and sang in our chapelteria, and I'm like, who's that girl up there? And she, you were like, what, like 5 years old or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like 16.
16, yeah. Okay, well, you were super young, so very fun. Well, we have the two of you here today with us to talk about a number of things. Obviously, our audience is younger and primarily single and, you know, are certainly... you know, tied into the music scene and probably listen to all your stuff, Rebecca. But I want to talk to you two primarily about what in the world are you two doing together? How did you find one another? And how, really, I mean, what is the, I know that you said, and I read the an interview, Rebecca, where you said you decided several years ago that you needed a mentor. Mm. How did you come to that decision? And really tell us that story, that little journey that you went on.
Well, I probably got to my early 20s, which maybe I definitely wish I had have gotten to this point a little bit earlier, because it would have helped me in my life. But early 20s, and just really sensed a need for a mentor, somebody that was outside of my family. I definitely see my parents as mentors, but outside of my family that could really speak into my life and kind of expand on their wisdom, you know, and especially somebody that understood kind of the unique pressures of being a woman in ministry. And so Evie really had been somebody that I'd looked up to and respected for quite a while at that point. I met her when I was about 2 in Sydney, Australia, which was my hometown, and she was packing out the Sydney Opera House, which is that big funny-looking spiky white thing in Sydney. So she was selling that out, and my parents knew her, and so we met at that point. And then when I was touring here in the U.S. In Florida, which is where she lives, we kind of hung out at some of my shows, and I just loved her. She just shone Jesus, you know. I just loved her light, you know. She just was radiant and is radiant, and kind of person that I just want her to rub off on me, you know. So this one particular weekend, I'd had her contact information for a while. Felt bashful about asking her to be my mentor, because I thought she probably had, you know, a ton of people that she already did that with. And
because she's a superstar.
She is, yes.
Oh, you guys.
So I finally, she's blushing.
Incredibly uncomfortable.
Finally, just really this one particular weekend felt really led to email her and just ask her about this. And so I did. And unbeknownst to me, she was actually coming to Nashville like 2 days after. And so she called and said, can we hang out at the Opryland Hotel? And so we did, and that was the beginning. And it's just been one of the most enriching, empowering relationships I've ever had in my life.
Wow. Yeah. And you actually, I mean, not only has the mentorship been beneficial from a professional point of view, because obviously both of you got your start as teenagers and you started doing the touring circuit, but on a personal level as well. Evie, why don't you tell us a little bit about, from your perspective, kind of how that's played out?
Well, as a matter of fact, the calling myself Rebecca's mentor is something that I'm not comfortable doing the word to me kind of has that little sort of tinge to it, like when you are a mentor to somebody like Beck or anyone, it's like you're saying, I know it all. And I am the older, wiser, so much got everything going kind of person. And the Lord knows that is not me. This wonderful, I'm her older sister in the Lord. We've walked many similar roads, so we have a lot of common ground that we can talk about. But this is really more than on the career sort of ministry level. This is more my prayer partner, and it is so very much a two-way street. We are intentional about making time to check in with each other, texting, emailing, telephoning, as of course with cell phones we can call anytime, anywhere, but also spending time together, perhaps even not when we're on the road doing these she events, just, you know, taking a day to hang out at her
house.
At her house or my house, or and the beauty is we're just two sisters that are from a different generation. I am old enough to be her mom. She's the age of, she could be my daughter. But what we find here is a friendship and a camaraderie, a sharing in each other's lives, carrying each other's burdens, very much based on prayer, I would say. Probably more than anything, just knowing what's going on and then praying, not only together, but separately for what's going on in Beck's life. And she is such a support in prayer for me. But this relationship that Rebecca and I share is one that the Lord put together.
Yes.
It is not cumbersome. It's not heavy. It's light.
It's a lot of
there's
grace.
Lots of grace, lots of space, mm-hmm. lots of understanding, and one that is not threatening to any of our other relationships, mm-hmm. Not threatening to the relationship that I have with my daughter, with my husband, with my son, with my friends. And I know Beck would say the same. It's just an added blessing.
Well, and I think that's a great point, because I think what we find with our listeners is many of them will say, well, you know, I've tried to find a mentor in my church, but everyone tells me, oh, I don't have anything to tell you, or I don't, you know, I haven't reached this level of spiritual maturity, or haven't, you know. I think it's a great example for them to see how, you know, it can just be spending time together. Mm. It can just
having
be catching
coffee.
Up. Yeah, having yeah. coffee together. What would you say, for example, give our listeners an idea of what does a checkup session look like? Like, what kind of things do you speak into one another's lives? What does it actually entail?
Well, I mean, a lot of time, because she lives in Florida and I live in Nashville, Tennessee, it's there's a lot of phone time.
Yeah, there is.
But I mean, the ideal is when we can get together and
course.
Look at each other in the eye and like pray together and mm-hmm. just, you know.
Cry together.
Exactly.
Laugh together.
We laugh a lot, too.
A lot,
we both
a
like
lot.
Chick flicks, you know.
Yes.
We
oh,
like having
my word.
Girl time.
We're memorizing Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, and sure. She loves Sense and Sensibility.
However, let me even just as a yeah. little parentheses here. As much as I love the chick flicks and Sense and Sensibility and Pride and Prejudice, there's something a little bit unrealistic about them, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we live in the real world and we realize that Mr. Darcy may be there, but probably looks quite different and will come.
And
come
she speaks
to,
that into my life.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't regularly dive into
single.
Ponds and come out like with his shirt all
off. And him looking perfect.
Hello, that's supposed to happen.
That's right. No. But I think definitely a regular check-in time is hearing what's going on. How can I pray for you? Where just a couple of nights ago we talked about friendships and mm-hmm. when, you know, how do you deal with when someone is sort of skewing off a little bit here? And it's just really brainstorming, or like what I like to say, spirit storming.
Yeah.
Let's just really open our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to give us some light.
Mm.
I love the fact that when I speak with Beck many times, it's like bringing a different light source to the same situation that's always been. It brings greater clarity. You see things in a different perspective just purely by sharing your heart with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that it's going to remain between us. There's great integrity and loyalty in our friendship. I'm not going to be talking about her to other people. She the same way with me. So there's safety in that.
Yeah.
And with that can come that openness where we can really talk about things that you wouldn't necessarily share with the average person sitting next to you in a Bible study.
Okay, good. Well, let's turn the corner a little bit, since we did touch on the whole Pride and Prejudice scene.
Uh-huh.
At Boundless, we deal a lot with relationships.
Yes.
And obviously, most of our listeners are single. And we're going to put Rebecca on the spot a little bit here.
Yeah.
And,
give it to me.
She needs that.
Now, this is funny because I am I'm single as well. And one of the number one questions I get when I travel for Focus is, how in the world can you work at Focus on the Family and be single? Surely you meet tons of guys and surely you
right.
know, whatever.
Yeah, I get that.
And
a lot,
I'm
too.
Sure, I mean, yeah. hello. That would be like 10 times exponentially what you know, you must get that. So what would you say, you know, Rebecca, talk to us a little bit about your own experience and what it's like to be one in the spotlight. And you've been very vocal about, you know, wanting, you know, and I'm not even going to say to find, but for a godly man to find you,
mm-hmm.
and what that looks like as far as the balance between what is in God's plan and God is sovereign and, you know, that whole maxim,
mm-hmm.
and really what that looks like as far as your own story. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about where you are with that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get the whole, oh, you travel all the time, you must meet crazy amounts of guys,
mm-hmm.
and like, you know, have lots of dating opportunities. But the hard part for me is finding like somebody around my age. under some kind of normal situation. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, really, at a show, like, mm-hmm. you know, hey, what are you doing after the show? You want to go out for ice cream? I mean, I've gotten yeah. that before, but it's yeah. like, I don't yeah, know this no. person, yeah. and I'm, like, going out with a total stranger. You know, it's not
well,
really...
points for intentionality for them.
Exactly, yeah. yeah. But then we've had stalker problems, yeah. too, so I don't know if this guy's a stalker. So
watch
I think...
for the stalker.
I mean, I'm... Yeah, my accent, stalker would probably... How would it be with
well,
an American accent,
in New
Eddie?
York, you would say a stalker.
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 So I sound a bit like a New Yorker.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, meeting guys, like, just under normal circumstances back in Nashville, I mean, it's hard for me to do. And so I do date. I was dating somebody up until a couple months ago. I believe in dating. I think sometimes we've used the whole... You know, I'm just waiting on, you know, God's timing and waiting for him to bring my man as an excuse to kind of live in fear and not kind of actually right. go out with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, sit back and wait for things to happen.
Yeah, you know, and you can just kind of be so, I'm just waiting and I'm being patient, almost as an excuse for being passive and not taking a risk. Because I think if you choose to love, you choose to accept pain mm-hmm. as a part of that. And yeah, being vulnerable, I mean, it's going to hurt at some point because not every relationship is a great situation. And sometimes, I mean, sometimes I think relationships come into your life just as a learning experience, almost learning what you need in your future spouse. Growing up, I think a lot mm-hmm. of my relationships have taught me just to kind of to grow up and to mature as a person and to learn patience. And mm-hmm. You know, I just think each relationship that God brings into our life teaches us something, and so it's valuable.
So what would you say to the woman who says, you know, well, I definitely want to wait and I'm trusting the Lord, but what if I'm still waiting when I'm 35, or what if I'm 40, or what, you know? Ooh.
I had a married woman once tell me, it's better to be single than to wish you were. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of rung in my head a lot. And I think one of the things that it's been easy for me, and I know a lot of us as single young people, or single not so young people, like, you know, I mean, as we get older, we start going, yeah, how long is this going to be? And I think it's easy to get into a mentality of the grass is greener somewhere else. And my best friend is married with 4 kids. And, you know, she confides in me a lot about the challenges of being married. Mm-hmm. And it's a fight. It's a good fight, but mm-hmm. it's a fight to just, you know, be one with your spouse and to have a good relationship. And my parents have a fantastic marriage, but they've told me too, it's a whole lot of work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to have kids on top of that and the pressures and the responsibilities that go along with that. And so I think one thing that God's just really taught me is just don't feel like the grass is greener somewhere else and, oh, woe is me, you're kind of missing out and life just is this horrible burden to bear because I'm single. Like, that's not helpful to anyone. And I think, you know, my husband, when I meet him, is going to be more attracted to me if I'm content and not moaning about my single life. I think if I'm enjoying the journey where I'm at, there's an attractiveness and a confidence to that is attractive to the opposite sex. And so that's where I want to walk. And it's mm-hmm. I have my good days and my bad days. Sometimes I'm like, God, hurry up. And yeah. Evie's heard a lot about that. mm-hmm. But, you know, then on other times I'm just peaceful because I know in his timing, it'll work out and he's going to take care of me.
Okay. So what would you say, actually, our last podcast, this is kind of interesting. We talked about the concept of settling and really when it is good to settle, because, you know, there's you know, certain things that you cannot settle on, issues of faith and spiritual maturity and, you know, hello, is the person male and or female? And, you know, certain non-negotiables.
Right.
But at the same time, there is a time and a place to finally settle the issue and to choose, you know, and especially for men need to ultimately choose, and they can't wait for this elusive, you know, for the stars to align and for something just miraculous or magical to happen. So what would you say, Rebecca, to the boundless listener who's like, well,
Prince
that
Charming.
Girl, that girl should be married by now. Obviously, right. She is just too picky.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What are you doing out there, Rebecca? You're obviously just too picky. I mean, what do you think about that?
My mom gave me some advice at one stage, and she said, you know, every relationship that you know, every guy that you meet that has potential of being your husband, you need to explore that opportunity so that as a single person, you can be at rest knowing that he didn't pass you by. Mm-hmm. And so every relationship And I missed an opportunity for the one, you know. And so every relationship that I have had where I felt, yeah, I mean, there's something here, I have explored it until I know for sure that that guy is not my husband. And so I think, but on the whole, like getting kind of too picky thing, I think, you know, trying to, like we were talking about Pride and Prejudice earlier, trying to have this movie moment where everything is perfection and he's just so romantic and he's just whisked me off my feet. I think we can't buy into the whole movie mentality or even books. I love to read, but you know, if I'm trying to look for that perfect book scenario where it's like a novel, I am going to be single the rest of my life. And I think just knowing that that reality is going to be a little bit different. And you know, I think like you said, him being a strong believer that can lead me, that's very, very important to me. Somebody who has a sense of humor, I think that's really key. I don't want to marry somebody who's not going to be able to laugh with me. Somebody who enjoys like children, that's important to me. I mean, you got to kind of like know who you are enough to know what are the big things, you know, like if this guy was completely opposed to me on some of these issues, then that would be a deal breaker. But on the, you know, is he going to bring me flowers every night? And is he going to be so great with his communication that he'll never hurt my feelings? Like, you know, that's kind of stuff you can't just like stand on that and go, okay, he's out.
Right, right. Okay. So. Well, and Evie, just as we wrap here, why don't you give us your perspective on this as far as what can women who have been there, done that, women who have, who are married, who have kind of walked that road, how can they encourage the younger women out there and encourage the younger men and start helping people move on this continuum towards healthy relationships and healthy marriages?
Well, I think being very honest and kind of transparent, realizing that, as you said when you had the talk with your mom here recently, that that things aren't always that glorious. It is hard work, but it's well worth it. And just being that support and encourager to try to see beyond today. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Realize that tomorrow's a new day. God is still on the throne. He knows what is best for you, who is best for you, and just be a cheerleader. And yet I know many times when you say that to someone who's really having a hard time waiting for that person, they want to look at you and say, will you please be quiet? Because it's like, I'm waiting and it's not happening. And we just need to be sensitive to that too, because they've heard it all and seen it all, and we just, maybe the best thing we can do at times is be quiet and pray.
All right. Well, that's excellent. Well, both Evie and Rebecca are out and about now talking about this message. They're calling it SHE, which is safe, healthy, empowered. They can find, you know, our listeners can find out more info on that. Where can we go?
Let's get there. You can go to my my website, which is rsjames.com, or MySpace, Rebecca St. James at MySpace, and you can find Evie there too, because we're doing a lot of these mother-daughter events, actually, and talking about sexual purity and talking about our purpose as women and just being fully alive in God, talking about beauty, you know, just a lot of the issues that are very relevant to us as women.
And you have a book
women.
Of the same title.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a springboard. Yeah. Now you're kind of real time, real space, putting it, putting the legs on it. So that's excellent. And I think it's a great opportunity for young women and older women to really embrace that and see how it is an intentional process. And it is not only the mentoring, but really growing in grace and seeking out what God's best is for you. That's great to see. So,
and God bless you here at Boundless.
We're having fun. We think we're a great, I mean, we wouldn't be the traditional Focus on the Family audience, but we're okay with that.
That's
so, you know, because if we don't get, if we don't grow up young adults, we won't have a demographic, you know, to speak to. So, all right, we'll see you out and about.
All right. Awesome. Amen. The reason why I stand, the answer lies in you. You hung to make me strong, though my praise was few. When I fall, I bring your name down, but I have found in you a heart that bleeds forgiveness, replacing all these thoughts of painful memories. But I know that your response will always be, I'll take you back,
Now that radiates what's true, I'm in the only place that erases all these faults that have overtaken me. But I know that your response will always be, I'll take you back.
Culture segment. I'm in the studio with Jeremy Camp. Jeremy Camp, as many of you know, is a very popular CCM artist. I was going to say, you're not even like a new artist anymore. You're just one of those.
No, it's I'm getting older.
You are. You're getting older, and that's okay.
I'm a veteran soon, which is scary. No, just kidding. I'm not that old.
Well, it's fun because on the Boundless Show, we've had the chance to interview some of the oldsters. You know, nice. I'm just going to say that. I mean, hopefully he won't hear this, but you know, like Michael W. Smith and some of those folks that have been around a while. Okay, let's be honest. I interviewed Evie. Okay, seriously, like Evie is like the Sandy Patty of the 1970s. But I'm an Uber fan, and I was like, girl, I'm talking to you.
I
know. Well, and she mentors Rebecca St. James now. I'm not ashamed.
I am not ashamed
of the gospel or Evie. Okay. That is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm talking about.
Or the Gaithers, but I'm not even going to get into that because I've gotten so much heat from my fan-ness of the Gaithers and the Gaither homecomings, and I'm just not even going to go there. So anyway, Michael W. Smith, and then a lot of newer artists, like I just interviewed Johnny Diaz the other day, who's just starting out in Nashville, as well as some of the other ones like Brandon Heath and, of course, Leland, but now they've been around a while too, and some of those other folks. So very exciting. All that to say, we are here with Jeremy Camp today.
Yay.
Jeremy.
You've heard me, my little peanut gallery in the background.
Yay.
That's me.
The many, many fans that he has, and I mean like there are 7,000 people at least are just in the engineering room outside the studio. So they are waiting to talk
like
to him
humor.
Afterwards.
Thanks. Good. Yeah, that's good.
He is here for our Focus on Marriage conference this weekend and provided music. And I am single, and so I did not attend that. However, I should have. But I'm here for, because I do media relations for Focus. So we had some media interest and I was handling that. But anywho, all that to say, I'll just give a quick summary here. Jeremy's latest album is Speaking Louder Than Before. You can find all the info you need and more at jeremycamp.com.
Yes.
I always want to say that so people can start getting on their little MacBooks and looking
and
things up.
Sign up for my Twitter and my blog.
Really, if
Twitter's
you want
big.
To know how he styles his hair and when he does it, get on Twitter and just have him walk you through his day as he lives it. So
you might see that on one of the podcasts that we've done. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So running through for those of you who, I mean, hopefully you know who he is, people. I mean, get with it. But okay, songs Take You Back, Walk by Faith, Give You Glory, Let It Fade. Okay, so he's sung a lot of songs and he is very popular and he's awesome. And but this
killing
is like
me. This is funny.
But that is like whatever. I mean, do you not do those things? You go to GMA and you say the same thing to people every year in Nashville. Okay.
You do.
All about the songs and the records and everything.
Right.
And which is great. And here at the Boundless Show, we love talking about those things too. We talk about music.
But you want to talk about something different.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just want to talk. I'm up
See,
for
you
talking.
Were, you were setting yourself up to basically say that you're going to do something different, but now you're resorting back to what we always talk about, which I'm okay with that. I'm fine.
Okay, well, here, there are a couple things. First of all, you are a pastor's kid.
Yes.
Which isn't too huge or unusual in the world of Christian music.
Right.
I mean, you've got the dudes from Salvador, and you've got these other guys that just, you know, whatever. They didn't become pastors, and so they became musicians.
Right.
So So you do have that, or you go into marketing. I mean, honestly, there are really only three options for you. So, so they do that. But I also am a pastor's kid, so that's very exciting. Yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah, I'm a poster child for the Evangelical Free Church. That's where my dad pastored, and my parents were missionaries there. But what? Tell us a little bit about your upbringing and kind of how do you get from Indiana farm? Okay.
Yep.
Because my dad's from Minnesota.
Okay.
So farmland into, ooh, here I am in all these concerts and I'm just playing music.
Very carefully. Mm-hmm. If I told you, I'd have to. Anyway, so basically, you know, I was born in Indiana, you know, that's what you just said. And mm-hmm. there's lots of corn there. And you said that too. Mm-hmm. So that's really the most exciting part of it. But no, I was brought up in a Christian
home. Basketball.
In basketball too. Mm-hmm. The Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. Go Hoosiers. But so I was kind of, you know, my parents were great. My dad was great. I mean, he was in ministry, became a pastor when I was probably 14? So really, I was a little bit later in life, but he always was in ministry, either leading worship or he'd doing Bible studies. And so that was kind of my life. And see, it was a great example. Well, I really started serving the Lord full on when I was, you know, like almost about 17. I kind of like did the wayward thing. I'm a typical pastor's child that did the wayward thing and then realized, okay, what am I doing? You know, and I hate that because it's so typical, but it's just what happened. And and God called me after that to go to Bible college in California. So what happened was I didn't know what I was going to do yet. I thought sports wasn't going to be my thing. And then I started playing music when I was 15 a little bit, just, you know, randomly. Okay, Dad, show me a few chords. So that's what he did. And I wrote some songs. I'm like, I kind of like this music thing, but wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I went to Bible college for 2 years out in California. And as I was there, I just played a bunch more and played at the college. And then kind of, you know, at the end of my, you know, schooling, would get calls from different churches in California because the students that went there would be like, hey, you should have this guy that leads worship at our, you know, school come play at church. So I did that for a while. And I think what happened was doors started opening. And I think people always ask me, how do you do it? How do you get, you know, and play in front of thousands of people? I'm like, well, first of all, stop there, because God might not want you to play in front of thousands of people. You know, it might be the faithful 100 or the faithful 10, whatever it may be. I don't know what it is in someone's situation. It's just, you have to let God do it. And for me, it was like, I just went out. God would open a door for me to go play. I would go. I never made one phone call to say, can I play here? It was crazy. And because I just allowed God to open the doors. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that in my situation, it was just kind of like obvious that God was opening the doors. And so I did that independently for a while. And then finally cut a demo and then called a friend that did have a record company, which is what I'm on now, and said, hey, you know, I kept this demo. He never called me back for, you know, ever. So I was like, finally his A&R called me back and said, you know, I've been hearing a lot about you. I said, well, by the way, I'll send you a CD, but tell, you know, Brandon, he's the owner. I said, hi. And he's like, you know, Brandon? I'm like, oh yeah, I called him a few years ago. So that was kind of one of those things where I was just patient though. I was like, well, if that's not what Lord wants. And finally I got a hold of him and he said, I want to sign you. And it was just one of those things where all I can say is that just let God do it. We were talking earlier, me and Dan, and we were talking about that. It was like, just letting God do it. It's a lot better.
Yeah, we are joined by Dan in the studio. Dan is actually a Jeremy Camp Uber fan. And so I just said, Dan, come on in and talk to us. And you know what? I mean, sometimes you have to have face-to-face time with people that you listen to. And Dan himself is a musician. He actually came down. His sister, Dawn, is at the Institute, and he came down to visit her this weekend. And so how fun is that, that he gets to be part of this as well? So came down all the way from Montana.
Yeah.
That is
Montana.
Awesome.
Montana is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Montana,
by
is
the way.
Beautiful.
Okay, well, I'm going to give Dan a chance to ask you a couple questions as well, Jeremy. But tell us, I know that you've walked through this story very often, and here at Boundless, we are very intentional about equipping young adults to pursue marriage in a godly fashion. Right. I mean, I think we've bought into kind of that cultural idea that, oh, marriage, if it just happens, it happens, whatever. Right. But really, you know, the default for most people is marriage, unless they are called to singleness, as the mandate's given in the New Testament. And, you know, we've kind of let culture dictate, you know, in the meantime, people are shacking up and people are doing who knows what. And it really is reflected in the church as well, unfortunately. But you chose to get married at, was it 23?
I was 23.
At the age of 23, to someone whom you knew at that time had cancer, and you chose to get married instead. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Basically, I mean, make a long story short as much as I can. I met this girl, her name was Melissa, and she was amazing. It's one of those things where all your life you kind of pray and you want that person that loves Jesus. You know, for me, that's what I want. I want the person that loves Jesus, you know, because all the other stuff to me was very shallow, you know. And so I was kind of, that was my mindset. It's not everyone's mindset. And it's just, that was one thing that I did have right, I think. Believe me, a lot of things I didn't have right. So I'm not saying that I did, but that was one thing where I was like, I did want somebody that loved Jesus. So she was that person. And so we just kind of, you know, hung out, and you know, I fell in love with her quick. It was just like, you know, I think after 2 weeks, I was like, I love you, you know, and she's like, you're weird, you know, and so it's one of those things where you kind of get through that weird, awkward stage, and...
But you stalked her and threw some Bible verses at her,
and she was fine.
That's good.
She finally fell for it.
God spoke to her, her heart.
The Holy Spirit finally came on. But no, but we, you know, had to deal with that whole awkwardness of me literally saying that, like, quickly into it. Usually it's the girls like, I love you. And I was a guy saying, I love you. Anyway.
But you're an artist.
Yeah, so I'm a little more emotional, I guess.
Definitely.
But so make a long story short, we kind of broke it off. And I was devastated. I thought she was the one. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Well, I found out, I think 6 months after that, a friend of mine said, hey, Melissa has cancer. They just found out she has cancer. And so I went down to visit her. And just, I walked in and she was just smiling, you know, and I'm like, why is she smiling? And I said, you doing okay? She goes, I'm doing great. And this is one thing that I've been sharing for years because it's just, it's always affected me and always will. And she goes, you know what? I'm doing fine because I realize that, you know, if I were to die from this, but if one person can be affected, if one person can come to know Christ through this, then it's all worth it. And that just rocked my world. And went home that night and just, you know, was like, Lord, what's going on? All these emotions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, we eventually got engaged. It was just one of those things where God, I knew that we were supposed to get engaged. And then went through the engagement. She lost all of her hair and went through the battle of everything. And then finally, you know, we got married. Things were looking better. And it was kind of a real exciting time. And got back from the honeymoon. And that's when the doctors told us that she had weeks to months to live. And I think that was the point of like reality check. Okay, whoa, this is really happened. I knew that she had cancer, got engaged. I knew that could be a possibility, but a month into our marriage, and I was like, oh, Lord, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough. It was very tough. We just battled and we prayed. And four and a half months into our marriage, she went to be with the Lord. And you know, I have my questions. I have my battles. And people, you know, look at me and they said, how'd you do it? You must be this great man of faith. And I'm like, God would have given you, and he'll give you the same amount of strength that he gave me because he loves you. And I'm not this great man of God, great man of faith and strength. It's just him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did. I had my times of being angry, my times of throwing things across the room, my times of just saying, God, really? Is this, are you there? You know? And, but always he would just, that little inkling was just there. And I just would hold on and grasp onto that until finally it just, my heart healed, you know, and I met my beautiful wife, Adrienne, you know, 2 years later. And, you know, we're now, of course, married, but it's been over 5 years and we have two beautiful girls. And I see how God has used that now. I didn't understand. It was 8 years ago from, you know, and I see how God has used that to shape and mold who I am and to use that for ministry. And it's just been an unbelievable, what I thought would never be a good outcome, even though I still have scars. I still have things that are painful, but, and I would never say, oh, I'm glad I went through that. Yeah. But it was a point where you see how many lives have been touched and you go, more than one person, more than one person has been touched. And it's humbling because I know it's not me.
Yeah. Well, and that's amazing because I think our generation tends to be, we have this mindset that if you just do what you're supposed to do, you just, you know, you're a believer, you just kind of go through life and you're going to start out at some lower echelon of whatever, of spiritual maturity, whatever you want to call it. But at some point, you know, your life is just going to progress and it's going to keep getting better and better. And it's just going to be, you know, if you do the right things and you make the right decisions and you, you know, we apply it to everything. We apply it to relationships, career, everything that we're going through.
Right.
And I think it's so true what you're saying that we don't know in many senses where life is going to take us. And specifically, when we go through something difficult, what that journey is going to look like, because it's not just, you know, here's a situation that I just need to put my little stamp of faith on and then I'm just going to shoot out and be this awesome, have this awesome response to it,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
Because I've had, you know, I had a my dad died about 7 or 8 years ago now of cancer as well. And both my parents were older. And so I knew, you know, growing up that I probably wouldn't have my parents with me forever, even as most of my peers. But it was still, you know, we all have to. I remember someone saying recently how everyone's going to walk through grief in their life. Right. And you have to deal with the grief and you have to bring it before the Lord, exactly. or it's going to crop up some other time in your life. It's not like you just get a pass on it. So but it's amazing that at that young age that you walk that.
Well, I tell people too, and I think you made a good point, exactly a good point, that somebody's going to, you know, throughout their life, they're going to experience grief. Mm-hmm. And I think that in one way or another, and I think that this is the problem with even sometimes different things that are going on, doctrines or whatever of today, is that there's this mindset that everything should be great, and if not, there's probably something wrong.
Right.
And that is so false, because and we all know the scripture, and I'll repeat it to the day that I die, consider it pure joy. It's James. When you face trials of many kinds, mm-hmm. when you face trials. Mm-hmm. So it's not if, it's not, mm-hmm. you know, when. And it's hard to swallow for some people. And they're like, oh, well, mm-hmm. but God is loving. Well, it's like, yeah, God's loving. He loves us enough to prune us and make us better because right. he loves us, you know. And we go through the fire, as it says in Peter, to be refined. He wants right. to refine us. He wants us to be better, you know, because right. he loves us. And I think that is the whole false doctrine of what's going on, of like, right. listen, we're going to experience those times. He never promised that we weren't. He promised that he would walk through those times with us.
Exactly.
That's
well,
what he
promised. In this world, you will have tribulation.
You will.
My pastor says, how come we don't see that promise of God on plaques or on right. mugs or anything like that.
No one wants to hear that.
No one wants to put that on a pendant.
Nope.
I can tell you that. So, well, that's amazing. And obviously now you've seen 8 years pass. Obviously your music career has grown. Like you said, he has his wife, Adie, is actually here today. She's out in the studio.
Hi, Annie.
They have two daughters. You will see her again, we promise.
Yes.
At Focus on the Family, we support families.
Yes.
We will not keep you here interviewing for 5 hours straight. Maybe four and a half.
There will be a day.
Exactly. So,
really cheesy.
Anyway,
a reference to one of my songs. By the way, it's a song, guys. You can go buy it on iTunes. There will be a day. Just kidding.
On iTunes, and again, jeremycamp.com. I just want to say that.
Twitter.
Twitter. Woo! Find out about his life.
Shameless.
So, okay. So, what kind of things is God teaching you right now? You've obviously walked through you know, there's the temptation of, I walked through that phase. You know, God taught me. I grew exponentially back, you know, in this period of my life. So now he's going to give me a bye and I'm just going to be coasting.
Oh my goodness.
Probably not true.
Do you really want, we can stay here for 3 hours if you want and tell me all things God's teaching me.
Maybe give us a little high level summary.
Okay. But, I'll give you a little, mm-hmm. It's really kind of the big theme right now is don't be so busy. And I know it sounds like, huh? What does that even mean? Don't be so busy. Well, it's funny because we can be busy in the name of Christ and just forget why we're doing what we're doing, you know? And I think that you have to sit back and go, oh, okay, first of all, am I spending time with the Lord? How's my family doing? Am I pouring into my wife? Am I, you know, and I shared earlier, it's like sometimes my wife gets the crumbs and the morsels because I've been so wore out. And it's like, stop. And we've both been going through that right now, is quit being so busy. You know, quit filling your time up with other things when you could be spending time with Christ. And we all know that, and it's a simple thing, and it's something that we always battle with, no matter how long we've been serving the Lord. But that's just kind of, I think, to highlight, you know, a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I'll highlight that one. Just, I'll encourage people, we have to take that time out because and I shared this earlier, I was like, there's so many distractions nowadays into a greater heightened degree that we have to take time out and just say, whoa, I need to slow down. Am I just sitting quiet before the Lord, or am I just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And because we're not letting him speak to us anymore because
mm-hmm.
we keep going.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost afraid of, I'm afraid of what he'll say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, exactly, because he wants to speak truth and love and sometimes exhortation in our lives. And we have to allow him to, so we have to slow down. And I think for me, it's like, I just want to slow down, hear the Lord's voice, wait on him for things, you know? And that's where I'm at.
What, Jeremy, would you say in speaking to our generation, what do you think our generation is doing well right now?
Doing well. I think that there's a lot of people that are understanding more and more about the service of going in, like, okay, we need to start doing things. You know what I mean? Quit talking and start doing things. I've been seeing that better lately, you know. But then what's happening, this is where I can say you're going to have the pendulum on the other side if you're not careful. So then you have all the service, because you used to have all the truth of, like, we need to do this and you know, this and this and this is all like talk, whatever. And then on the other side of the spectrum where there's all service, but no one wants to say anything about Jesus because it's like, well, just let our actions speak, which don't get me wrong, that does work. But if no one's ever saying anything about the Lord or about Jesus to anybody, hey, I'm serving you, but that's it. Mm-hmm. But never saying, hey, God bless you, mm-hmm. or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And then speaking truth in someone's life, it's like, what service are we doing to them? You know, really? And truth will set you free.
Yeah.
And that's really where I think, so make sure that's the balance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, I alluded earlier and we chatted a little bit here. I have Dan from Montana in the studio with us, a Jeremy Camp fan. And he literally, I mean, came down from Montana. I mean,
just
hello.
Just to say hi.
Yeah.
Just
hi.
To say hi. I mean, well, I think he probably wants to go on tour
too.
With you, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's going to free up 2 years of his life
to
do that.
Study
and he
first.
Will just carry luggage
sure.
and do
That's
it.
What I did. It was
yeah.
good.
Yeah, nice. And I'll just carry around everything else.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dan, what do you think it is in the music and ministry of Jeremy that has really impacted you the most?
Oh, definitely just his humility in still wanting to serve God higher than having the calling of wanting to it be about himself, but just mm-hmm. the from just observing here and just listening to what he has to say, just how he has this care for wanting to serve God with his words and with his singing and with his music, that mm-hmm. it is about God
yeah.
more than it is about Jeremy.
Cool,
so
man.
that would definitely be mm-hmm. something.
Cool, man.
What would be like, what's a favorite song of yours?
Oh, man, there's too many. I like
to hear that.
I like a lot of them. And I recently, which is one of the funny things off of, I found the sheet music online and just was messing around with one of the songs that you wrote and was messing around with it. And I'm like, so thankful though, like the words speak truth into my life. And
cool.
I hope that I would be able to use that and speak truth into other people's lives, whether it's through the song or just through the principles and just the thought behind it just kind of spoke into my life. That's like, you know, it's all about God, and that's
Amen.
That's what's been really impacting me through this.
Well,
so
that's what I hope. That's cool you said that, because that's really my hope too, is that these songs will just spur on something in people, and not, you know what I mean, not just a
yeah.
song that sounds good or a song that, you know, oh, that's nice, you know, but
yeah.
actually will spur along people to love Jesus more or be challenged. And that's because it's all stuff that God's taught me. So I'm like,
mm-hmm.
well, if I can just share with somebody what God's taught me, then
mm-hmm.
maybe it'll be effective.
And I think you have two songs that kind of interest me here on the new, again, the new album is Speaking Louder Than Before. There are two songs on there. One is You Will Be There, which is actually based on Psalm 139,
yeah.
I think. And the other, I Know Who I Am. And it,
yeah.
I know that this album, you described it somewhere as really being targeted toward youth. And
yeah.
that, you know, that's your target for this. But it seems like those would be so applicable to those who, first of all, you know, those who are kind of finding themselves in that sense. And that could head into your 20s and beyond as well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I say that and it's like, you know what? But I see the effect on, like, it's almost like, you know what? It's just, you
mm-hmm.
know, when I say generation, I'm just going to say that for all of us, because
mm-hmm.
it's just, it's been neat to hear the reaction from just not even one age. It's just everyone's kind of, and it's just been neat to hear that. And so I think, like, you know, I Know Who I Am is based, you know, I wrote every song pretty much based on scripture, you
mm-hmm.
know, and everyone has a scripture tied to it. And, you know, I Know Who I Am is based on Romans 7, where it's like Paul saying, listen, the things that I want to do or the things that I, you know, don't do, the things that I don't want to do, I keep doing. What is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, wretched man I am, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, I know this is who I am. I need Christ, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So we have that flip side of like, okay, I'm wretched and I can't do anything. It's like he said in John, it says, you know, abide in me and I in you and you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's like, we can't do anything without him. That's the whole premise. That was one of the scriptures too. And that song was like,
mm-hmm.
I know who I am. I know I'm not able to stand on my own. I can't
mm-hmm.
live, you know? So I fall and I reach out my hands and said, here I am, fill me up with you.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's the flip side, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Okay. Well, as we wrap up the interview here, just give me a couple questions I have. One, what are the two most disparate examples of music that you have in your own library? Influences you've had or just music that you own? Do you have any Britney? I'm just saying.
I probably have one Britney song.
Okay.
Yeah. So next.
Any hip hop. any hip hop. I'm just saying that some Flo Rida and T-Pain is not too bad. I'm just saying.
Rida. You said it right.
See, oh, yeah.
That's what I'm really happy right now.
Flo Rida.
What do I don't know right now. I recently, well, I love Leland. That's kind of one of my, you know, faves, I think, still, always. But, you know, I'll enjoy, like, Coldplay and, you know, different things, too. I just have a different variety of what I like. I guess kind of those styles, too, mesh. But mm-hmm. I definitely can't listen to too much of anything that has no real depth because mm-hmm. I just feel kind of like, okay, great. So I got to go to some kind of this song that just really hit me, like a Leland song or Delirious or, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. it has substance. You know, I love music, so I'll listen to a bunch of music. But then it always goes back to, like, okay, substance, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dan, you have any burning question for Jeremy before we go?
At least one that I can think of would be, how would you encourage other young musicians or even those just who are working in maybe in the church or working with their friends, how would you encourage them to be faithful to Christ and, you know, through music or how? Just a couple words of encouragement, if you think.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I love, because God kind of gave me a picture of, because people, I think, sometimes generate what success is off numbers, which is not what it is at all. Because, and this is my encouragement to people who are in ministry that, like, I only have 3 people coming to my Bible study. I'm like, that's fine. You know, are they getting fed? That's great. So it's like someone, let's say, you know, in the shoes of going to play in front of thousands of people, they have this responsibility that's, you know, if you can't see me right now, which you can't, my arms are like 3 feet of expanse, this responsibility, but they're only faithful with 75% of it. The person who has maybe been given, you know, 6 inches of responsibility, but is faithful with that 100% of that 6 inches, whatever it may be, that's what it's about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What it's about is being faithful with what God's given you. He will increase when he wants to increase, and that's just up to him. We just be faithful. That's all he wants. Because in the end, we get to heaven, that's all that's going to matter. We get so, you know, earthly mindsetted sometimes that we're like, wait, so that doesn't really matter, you know, that kind of stuff. No, it's what we do for Christ and the effectiveness of Christ in people's lives.
Yeah, that's true. I think so many of us, especially this can be a, you know, particularly telling in our own generation, is we always say we want to do something huge. We just want to do something huge for the Lord.
Right.
We want to be quote unquote used and whatever. But the fact is, you know, if we're sitting in the office stealing Post-it notes and doing, you know, if we're not faithful, like you said, in the little things, and God is going to call us to very many little things. And that's where we have to start. And we have to, you know, we have to be faithful in what God has called us to do and to live with integrity and to pursue him wholeheartedly and do that in a way that probably is very unseen on many levels. And sure, God does call some people to big things, and some of our listeners may be some of them, but we're all called to be faithful in what he's called us to do where we are. And so that's huge. But well, thank you so much, Jeremy, for joining us, and Dan for being part of the conversation.
Dan,
that's so
thank
fantastic.
You so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Again,
awesome.
The new album is Speaking Louder Than Before. Find out more info about Jeremy Camp at jeremycamp.com. And of course, we'll give you more info at boundless.org as well. But hopefully we'll get updates on Jeremy in the future and the family and tours and whatnot. And we'll make sure that we keep all of you in the loop as well. So thanks again for being part of this, Jeremy.
Thank you, guys.
And only a moment truth was seen, revealed this mystery, the crown that showed no dignity he wore. And the king was placed for all the world to show disgrace, but only beauty flowed from this place. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? He held the weight of impurity the Father would not see. Reasons have finally come to be to show the depth of his grace, flowing with every sin erased. He knew that this was why he came. Would you take the place of this
All right, well, you heard it here first, our interviews with Rebecca St. James, Evie Turnquist, and Jeremy Camp. We love them. They're new friends of ours, and we hope that they'll stop by again when they have more going on and when they're in the Colorado Springs area. So we want to hear your thoughts on these interviews. Write to us at editor@boundless.org and tell us about your experiences with these artists, old and new, really how their music has touched your life, how it's challenged you, how their own testimonies have. Music is very powerful, and we know that. And so we want to hear your association with it, especially as it relates to these folks. So next week, be sure to tune in again, because we'll be talking to two more artists, and we'll let you know who they are then. But until then, have a great week. For The Boundless Show, I'm your host, Lisa Anderson.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.